remain there for 3 years, and I usually get that uploaded right around 7 o'clock in the evening after the show when I get home. Coming up in the second hour today, what you're going to hear is, you know what? Why don't I just do that more officially? Because we just switched over to 5 o'clock, so let's do it this way. Welcome back to the second hour. It is 5 o'clock, and you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock, and we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And if you just happen to tune in or just tuned in partway through the first hour, if you would have heard, had you been listening, from the Poets at Art Fest 10, our 10th annual outing and 9th, I should say our 10th outing and our 9th annual, I know it gets confusing that way. I should stop saying that, actually. So this was our 10th outing. Let's just put it that way. And it was it is a 3-day festival held the July 1st weekend. And today we're into the 4th show that I've aired from it since then. And what you heard was the launch of the Sunday morning launch during that event of the anthology More Than a Gathering, which was made up of work done by those who took part in the 2023 Poets at Art Fest event. In that hour, there were readings by, and I'm going to go through it again just in case you're interested and missed it, but you might know who to kind of look for if you decide to go on the blog space and find it that way. And I just mentioned that, but I will do that at the end of the hour as well. The readings were by, and they were in this order: Jane McDonald, Beth Marie Michalska, Susan J. Atkinson, Gwen Whitford, Doris Fisher, Abby Mioli, Brent Raycroft, Alana Veach, Catherine Jones, David Malone, Anne Graham, Sue Bracken, Honey Novick, Jen Frankel, Ron Chase, Ann Archer, Meg Freer, Jennifer Laundry, Kelsey Newman Reed, Eric Folsom, Wendy Jean McLean, Judith Popiel, Joel Giroux, Marie Mattia, and me. And again, I wouldn't say it now, but I might as well just go ahead. The blog space, if you want to, that I will mention again at the end of the hour, that the shows are saved to each week, is at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. Now, coming up in this second hour, you'll hear a very recent interview I did with Era McCauley, Artistic Director of Kingston Writers Fest. This was done on May 7th, or no, that can't be right. I have the wrong date here. It must have been August 7th. How's that? That makes a little more sense. So fairly recent, coming up on this year's event. I just forget about that date. I'm not sure about that date. It was done earlier this month. But it's about this year's upcoming event from September 25th through September 29th. And before I begin this hour, just my usual start of the hour announcement is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all is played in its entirety with content unedited to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. So you know what? I think what we should just do now, since I seem to be stumbling over words this afternoon, let's just go ahead and move into the very recent interview I did with Era McCauley, again, Artistic Director of Kingston Writers Fest. And it's all about, it was a wonderful conversation we had about this year's upcoming event, which will run from Wednesday, September 25th through Sunday, the 29th. Here we go.
Well, I'm here today with Era McCauley, Artistic Director of Kingston Writers Fest. Just a month and a half ahead of, that's crazy.
It is, it's wild. I mean, I know summer's always blink and you're gone, but it's always, I think, in the lead up to the festival, it's like, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I was at your launch event that happened last Tuesday night, I think it was. The Kingston Writers Fest 16th Festival coming up September 25th. Wednesday, let's do that. Wednesday, September 25th through Sunday, September 29th. And everything's up on your website now and www.kingstonwritersfest.ca.
Yeah, brand new website.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to talk about it a little bit too here. So the festival this year is going to look much different than any of them in the past. And this year's theme is Connect, Converse, Create. Can you talk a bit about both the new look and the theme?
Absolutely. I think they go hand in hand. I think the biggest change is our main venue this year. We are moving into the screening room. So we're really excited about that move. I think the screening room, it's local independent movie theater. It's an absolute institution. It already hosts a couple of other arts organizations festivals. So we knew it was, you know, it's in the heart of downtown. It's independently owned. It's a gorgeous building. And I think it'll just lend itself to the atmosphere we're really trying to create this year. So what we're really trying to do is emphasize the community aspect of and the connection aspect of the festival. I think often people aren't quite sure what a festival is, especially a literary festival. You know, like, are people just getting up and reading books? You know, are people doing a lecture? And it's like, no. But sometimes trying to explain it is tough. Yeah. But I think one of the really beautiful things about the festival is the connection and the conversations that come out of it. We have an incredibly engaged audience. We have an incredibly engaged community. A lot of really artistic people, a lot of really smart thinkers, a lot of passionate people. And when you get people together in a space like that and you start hearing the ideas that the artists are talking about on stage, it really starts to create these conversations that flow outside of the event walls and like into the community. And so that's what we're really trying to celebrate this year. We're also doing food events at some of the local restaurants downtown. So Shea Piggy, which has been an amazing supporter and is an institution in Kingston, and Bar Mila, which is a new venture, but by Tango Nuevo, who is well known and respected in town. We've got trivia at something at the Water Brewery, and we've got the Steve Heighton happening at the Mansion. So it's really encouraging people to be downtown, to explore the downtown, and to really make the festival feel like it's part of the community and integrated into it.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's a wonderful answer. Thank you so much for that. And I will say, too, that at the launch, I was happy to get my little pocket-sized festival guide to this year's festival, and I'm already circling the things that I want to make sure and attend. And I'll talk a bit more about it later, but just to mention here, you did mention it as well, but I think your website is just beautifully designed this year, and again, towards the end of our conversation, I will bring the website back up again.
Absolutely.
I did look a bit more thoroughly at it yesterday, though, and one thing I spotted, my memory's not that great. One thing I spotted, and it was something you may have done in the past, and it may have slipped by me then, or you may have even told me about it last year or some other year, if you've done it before. But I didn't really think I knew anything that there was such a thing as bringing authors into the schools actually the day that the event begins. So I always just thought, oh, it's that night it begins. But I mean, of course, planning has gone on for months and almost a year, mm-hmm. probably since the last one ended. You were already planning for this year. But I don't think a lot of people realize there are things going on ahead of that opening event. So I don't know. Would you like to? Is how long? How many years far? How far back does this go? And tell us a bit about that. Where you bring authors into schools?
Yeah. It's authors at schools, and I think sometimes it doesn't get a lot of public notice because it's specifically for the schools. Uh-huh. But it is a program. I think. Might have been established in 2010 and then Festival Field Trip in 2014.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, it's actually a really great one to bring up, and thank you for doing so. It's one that I think we're really proud of. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we bring authors. Usually it's like 4 to 6 authors, and they do 2 visits, one in the morning, one in the afternoon that day. It's completely free for the schools. So, it's a really great way. We do programming for everyone from like kindergarten to grade 8. So there's a nice variety of programming that's going on, and it's a really great way for kids at a young age to discover that, you know, there's someone behind this book,
right? Yeah, nice.
And they often will do interactive activities with the kids, like, you know, if you have a graphic novelist, for example, they might do some drawing.
Oh, wow.
Or get them to do some drawing, too. So, it's a lot of fun. And, yeah, that's the Wednesday sort of behind the scenes before the first public event.
Oh, no, that was so cool to read about. Mm-hmm. And then while we're talking about youth anyway, then I was very, it's hard to believe that since 2010, I didn't know this was going on, but it sounds like I might not be alone in that.
Yeah.
But I have known for a long time the thing that happens the next day is the Thursday morning you have your youth-related portion of the festival where kids come in from the schools in their festival field trip events, and then also you have Teens Write Studio sort of workshop events. You want to tell us a bit about that too?
Yeah, those are again another program that we're really, you know, excited about in a way to get younger kids excited about reading. Mm-hmm. We work really closely with the school boards to pick topics that are of interest to the kids, things that they're learning about in their curriculum, but also books that would be of interest to the general public too. Mm-hmm. So adults are welcome to attend the onstage events as well. So this year, for example, we have David Alexander Robertson. We haven't had him at the festival, I think. We had him virtually, but in person since I think 2017 or something.
Wow.
Very busy person. Yeah. And so that's someone we're really delighted about. And then we have 2 debut authors, Rosanna Fung and Lee Charmaine Ann, coming in as well. And David and Rosanna Fung are both going to be doing workshops. The workshop element is... it's been so popular that we've had kids sneak into it, which is a fantastic problem for a literary festival to have kids sneaking
that's
in.
That's too cool.
We ended up flipping things around this year. So we're at like offering more workshops because we used to offer 2 on-stage events and then 1 workshop at a time. So we flipped it this year so that it's 1 on-stage and 2 workshops.
Oh, sweet.
To give the kids more opportunity for that really hands-on programming. Really excited. We have a couple of local authors involved in that. So Jason Haru, who I think is well known, a former poet laureate, is doing a poetry writing. And then Mariah Horner, aka Mo Horner, has written a book with Jen Stevenson called Play. And it's on participatory play. And so she and the events illustrator, Jeff McGilton, who used to live here in Kingston, are going to be doing a really interactive workshop with teens. So it should be a lot of fun.
That sounds really cool. Yeah. Mm. And both of those people I happen to know well enough to know they work so well with the age group of people they're going to be working
with. Absolutely.
Yeah. That is too cool.
Yeah.
And your opening event then that we kind of talked about, Homecoming, I believe it's called, is being held at the Screening Room.
Yes.
On Wednesday evening, September 25th at 7 p.m. Can you tell us what to expect there, and you, as you sort of more officially then open up the full lineup of events that are going to follow?
I think we wanted to have an event that kind of encapsulated some of the ideas that we were talking about, and kind of the, I guess, the experience that we're hoping people take away from this. So we're really thrilled to have Danny Ramadan for this event. Again, he has been at the festival, but not since his debut short story collection in 2015.
Oh, that's a while.
Yeah, so it's been a while. He's done a ton since that. So Danny is just a lovely human being. He is, he describes himself as a queer brown man. He was from Syria and unfortunately had to leave because of his sexual identity. Moved to Vancouver. He's been an incredible activist there. He's raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for fellow refugees, and also has been a prolific writer. He's actually going to be part of the school program too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he has a really charming kids book out as well. So we're really delighted about that. But he's going to be talking with Jermaine Marshall, who you would have may have seen at the launch performing.
He was incredible at the launch.
Yeah. Also goes by Jay Marsh as his performer name. But Jermaine also in his life has explored the fact that, you know, he came from Jamaica. He's also queer. And so that tension of being in a loving a homeland that doesn't necessarily love you. So I think it'll be a really interesting conversation. And I'm hoping that that'll help set the scene for kind of the ideas that we're really encouraging people to think about this year. And yeah, we are delighted. We will have Novel Idea set up at the Screening Room. So Wendy, who owns the Screening Room, is fantastic and is allowing us to borrow the lower level space for the bookstore. So, you know, people will have the opportunity still to clamor, grab their books and get them signed as in.
Oh, that's perfect. That sounds like I can almost imagine all of this happening as you're just talking about it. Because I was going to talk about it later, but I think your box office is going to be up on the slightly raised portion where you would be going into the different screens.
I think we'll have it. We might have it set up actually right outside the elevator. So
That's first even better. My mistake.
That's all right. Yeah, I think we have had sometimes our book sales in that upper level because we've done a couple of off-season events there, and that was our experiment to be like, this works.
It's
gonna really
work. It's really comfortable. I mean, that's
Well, that's what I'm like, you know, reclining chairs, air conditioned, you know. A great concession stand.
Best popcorn in Kingston.
Absolutely. I tell people that all the time. Whenever they're, I'm like, have you been to the Screening Room? Have you tried their popcorn? So.
And the fact that they serve tea and coffee in porcelain mugs.
Exactly.
Or teacups instead of paper. Well, you can get them in paper cups, but you have the option at least.
Exactly.
And and honestly, you have so many interesting events this year, and I just thought I started to type these out a few, and an event with Eric Friesen and Sheila Rogers, a new event, and some of these you kind of already mentioned too, a new event called Kingston Writers Open Mic and Mixer that's open to new, emerging, unpublished, and self-published authors. Our writers in a two-hour event. Helen Humphreys featured in an event centered around her new book, Tied to Thoreau. A new event called, and this is the one you mentioned, Stephen Hyten Happening, featuring a number of Kingston area poets, a new trivia night that you also mentioned as well. And as I was typing these, I thought, man, how can I do this? I shouldn't even be doing this because I'm doing a disservice to all those others I didn't mention because they're all so great. It's just a wonderful lineup.
Oh, thank you so much.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about the 24 or so of events that are happening?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about the program this year. I mean, we always do like a really careful job of trying to curate things and provide a mix that'll appeal to a lot of people. So, yeah, I mean, a couple you mentioned there. I mean, Sheila Rogers, we haven't had her in a long time because
she
lives in Vancouver now, but she's coming back to Kingston as Queen's Chancellor. So we worked with book clubs for inmates, and they are honoring Eric Friesen because he recently won the Order of Canada.
Wow.
And Eric, as you know, has been on our stage every year.
Yeah.
He was on the board of Writers Fest as well, so I think that's going to be a really lovely event. We have a really cool, I think our Sunday brunch event is going to be a really interesting one. You know, if we're going to do like a food event centered around a cookbook, we want there to be a story behind it. And there's a really neat story behind this one. So it's called The Depener, and they call it like, you know, it's a cookbook / manifesto.
Okay.
So the author and chef behind the restaurant, Len Senator, was a graphic designer, had his own firm, and then he's like, you know what, what my passion is I want to cook. He bought an old convenience store.
Really?
And turned it into this quirky little restaurant. And then what he started doing was like amateur chef nights, giving people an opportunity who didn't have a kitchen to work out of, a chance to like cook for people. And what ended up happening is that a lot of people, like refugee people, new immigrants, started being like, this is a way that I can cook for my community. This is a way I can share my food with my new community. And so it became this really vibrant hub for people to discover new cultures and discover new food. And I think, like, you know, that's really what food can do is bridge that gap. Yeah. And so the cookbook is 100 recipes from 100 different cookbook authors that were like cooking out of there. So he's going to talk a bit about that, and there will be some food items from the cookbook in that.
Wow, that sounds really wonderful.
Yeah. And then I think the other big one, which is always a big one, is of course our big idea. You know, I don't think anyone isn't aware of the big U.S. election that's looming. And I mean, the Canadian election is not going to be far behind that.
Probably, yeah.
And so we have Carol Off back as ever, our wonderful moderator for that event, talking about the fate of democracy in North America. And so on stage, we have a historian who's looked at, you know, the history of like fascist regimes. And we have someone who was a U.S. Senate writer and is now a political science professor. And then we have Michael Roback, who some people might have seen. We had him for an event in June for off season. But Michael grew up as the child of two diplomats, traveled around the world, ended up being the first gay man to be married in a United Church in Canada.
Wow.
And has spoken a lot about rights won and now the rights that are like being threatened. As things like Roe v. Wade and gets turned over, and as biases and prejudice kind of start creeping back into politics in a way that they haven't in a long time. Yeah. So I think that will be a very interesting.
That sounds really incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, but as you say, I mean, how do you... you know, it is hard because they're... I'm quite excited. I hope that other people will be too. You know, we will be sort of giving little highlights and featurettes on some of the different events in the lead up to the festival if people are following our social media. So they'll have an opportunity to get to know the events a little bit more than the little synopsis in the program guide.
That sounds beautiful. And in addition to that, I think I counted, is there 9 writers' retreats as well this year?
Yeah.
And anything you want to say about those?
One of the things we're doing a little differently with that is that a lot of people that take the writers' retreats will do like the whole shebang.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's 9:30 till 6:15. Or 9 till 6:15 every day, which
wow.
is, you know, it's a long day.
Yeah.
And so what we've done this year is we've programmed the last workshop of every day to be movement-based. So it's still got writing in it, but one night is writing with improv. One is writing with yoga, and then one is a writing and self-care
okay.
kind of thing. So, like, how do you as a creative take care of yourself?
Uh-huh.
You know, because I think, you know, artists are often very, very hard on themselves.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get locked in these, like, 12-hour writing sessions where you're just tearing yourself apart, and it's like, how do you step out of that and then actually, like, take care of yourself so you can go about the rest of your day?
Yeah.
So I think that'll be rewarding for people. I think one of the nice things with the writing retreats is sometimes people are like, oh, I don't know, like, I don't write poetry, why would I take this class? And then they come out of it thinking, like, oh, this has given me totally new skills to try. So they're often, even if on paper they don't look interconnected, there's often something that you can take out of there that you can use for your work. And I mean, I've had the pleasure of sitting in on some, and you know, I'm not even a creative writer, but like, I'll write, jot down ideas, and that's so smart.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you for all that.
Mm-hmm.
And now, just back to your website. Again, it's so mm-hmm. easy to work through, and there are only 3 main sections
mm-hmm.
of it. The first of those is called Kingston Writers Fest Events, and that breaks down into all events, events for writers, youth events, and author bios, and in it as well is your full lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to mention about that section?
I don't think so. I'm glad you're finding it easy to navigate.
Yeah.
We have been wanting to update that website for years. I will a shout out to Experience Ontario. We were very, very lucky to get funding from them that allowed us to completely redo it after doing a little trial microsite last year.
It's really incredible.
Yeah.
And like you said, I think it's something like that is one of those things that you just gradually,
mm-hmm.
you can't just do it exactly right the first year, but you build up, and so you've got all of these years experience, and
mm-hmm.
I think it's just really delightful to really go through it.
Yeah. Oh, great.
And the second section of that of your website is festival information that talks about tickets and package pricing and other alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
So my question out of that, and anything else you'd like to add, is that, okay, where can people get tickets now? And
mm-hmm.
and if you want to talk about that section, because that's kind of...
Yeah, so that kind of gives the fine print of the ticketing. But we do have different options in terms of festival passes if people are really keen and want to jump in and, commit to the whole 5 days of the festival. We have writers' retreat passes as well, and then individual ticket prices. And something that we want to highlight more this year is the pay what you can options.
Mm-hmm.
Part of like making this a community festival is making sure that it's accessible to the community. So this year, all tickets have a drop-down menu option. So there is the suggested price, which if people can afford to pay it, we deeply appreciate that contribution. Mm-hmm. But if that's a price that's prohibitive, there are $5, $10, and $15 options as well as the $20 option, so that, you know, people can come. And mm-hmm. I mean, at the end of the day, if we don't have people at the theater, then there's no point. So,
oh, yeah, exactly.
You know, I'd rather, like, I really hope people feel like they're welcome to come. I'd rather them come with a $5 ticket than not come at all.
Yeah, exactly. So, and also yeah. the experience and be part of just something wonderful.
Exactly.
I have the ability to do that where they might not have had that ability before. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you said, so I'm just repeating it, but yeah. just rephrasing it, I guess. The other thing in that section, it also gives a list in case those were curious. Okay, here are all of these other places where these things are happening. And I'm not sure where that is, but mm-hmm. that section also has the addresses of all your off-site events as
yes.
well.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, most of them, I mean, I think like the furthest would be the mansion, but uh-huh. most of them would be, I think at most, about a 7-minute walk from the main screening room location.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. And then the final section is your support us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important as well. So mm-hmm. can you tell us a bit about how important donations are to
yeah.
this festival?
Yeah, well, thank you for asking that. Some of the changes that we've been making to the festival have been related to having to cut costs.
Uh-huh.
We're certainly not alone in terms of arts organizations that have been heavily impacted mm-hmm. by COVID. And things have not gone back to where mm-hmm. they were in 2019. And, you know, I often say, like, we haven't had a normal since 2019. Mm-hmm. Every year has been a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen drops in audience. We've also seen cuts across the board in funding. And
yeah.
that's, you know, like federal and provincial. And, you know, like City of Kingston's been amazing in terms
yeah.
of continuing their support, but a lot of other places, even guaranteed court support, we've seen cuts to.
Wow.
And so those things add up, you know, and,
yeah.
And ticket sales while the festival is all about the festival, you know, it is a not-for-profit and ticket sales often are about 15% of our operating funding for the
wow.
year. And so private contributions make a significant difference to us.
Yeah.
So we have, you know, a $5 contribution makes a difference. You know, we have different programs that people can contribute to. There are monthly donation mm-hmm. options, such as our Book Lover Donor Program. There are also programs such as our Author Patron Program, which, you know, if people have more to give, matches them with an author and they become their patron for the year. And that funding helps support the author's honorarium, their travel, mm-hmm. Their accommodation, and you get some perks, like you get to meet the author, you get to get a signed copy of their book, you get a photo with them,
mm-hmm.
As well as charitable receipts for everything. So, that is ultimately, those contributions are what makes the festival able mm-hmm. to survive and allows us to program, you know, the small, the quirky, the interesting, the important authors and books that aren't, like, you know, necessarily money makers for us, but that we think have a real value and that we really want to get in front of people. So
sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's wonderful. Again, that website is www.kingstonwritersfest.ca.
Mm-hmm.
And one just final thing, it's a bit down the road, but I think it was, I don't know that I saw it on the website, it might have been there, but I'm pretty sure it's in the festival guide, the little pocket-sized festival guide. You already have two off-season events in there as well, one in November and one in December.
Yeah, we are always working on programs.
Exactly.
So, we're really excited. In November, we have Elizabeth Renzetti, who has written a new book basically on... basically, like, how women are treated. this is kind of coming off some of the other work that she's done in the past. So looking at kind of some of the concerning things that are coming out, some of the, like, progress and regression in terms of women's rights. And she's a firecracker. I mean, she... has been a journalist for the Globe and Mail for a very long time. The last time we had her, it was an absolutely sold out room with waiting list.
Yeah,
So we really wanted to make sure she had an opportunity to have a platform for that conversation. And then we always do an event for Giving Tuesday, which is a sort of our last big fundraiser for the year. And this year we're really delighted to have Jane Urquhart on stage. Jane hasn't written a novel in I think about over 10 years now.
Wow.
She has a really beautiful novel that takes place on the prairies over the course of several decades, and the life of a woman there who, you know, on the surface might not seem that interesting, but who's actually lived quite a fascinating life. So that'll be lovely to have.
Oh, that'll be wonderful. Yeah. And I'll definitely be there for most of everything that's going on.
Absolutely.
And looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add that I may not have brought up or anything?
I will say if you want to grab a program guide, they are available at a lot of different spots downtown. I know the guide is up on the website, but Novel Idea, the screening room, the libraries, and a bunch of different local stores downtown have hard copies. So as you said, you can circle the events that you want to go to.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, other than that, if people follow our social media and follow the website, then they'll get the latest updates. So.
Oh. Well, I just want to thank you for your time. This has been a very enjoyable conversation this morning.
Aww.
So. Thank you, Erin. I do wish you all the best for this coming season that's quickly approaching.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Bruce. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and I always look forward to this conversation.
Me too.
Yeah, and I look forward to seeing you at the festival.
Ditto.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And let me crank this up a little bit. And you just heard a very recent... interview I did with Ara McCauley, Artistic Director of Kingston Writers Fest, about this year's upcoming event, and now just a month away, almost exactly, September 25th through the 29th, and that's a Wednesday through a Thursday. I tell you what, it is, in case I didn't say it, it is 37 and a half minutes after 5 o'clock. Tell you what, let's do this, and I will be right back.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
Dogs and cats that are off-leash can hurt baby bunnies by digging up the bunny nest. Sandy Pines has helped hundreds of bunnies because they were orphaned or their habitat was destroyed.
A dog's bite could really injure a smaller animal, so please keep your pets in a fence area or on a leash.
If you find an injured animal, please call Sandy Pines and they will help.
This message was brought to you by the students of Odessa Public School and Sandy Pines Wildlife Center.
And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And we do stream live online at www.cfrc.ca. And it's 41 minutes after 5 o'clock. So coming up in the several minutes I have left today, I'll let you know about some upcoming events and calls for submissions and even a song at the very end. But most important before that is, again, like I did in the first hour, I'd like to thank all of you so very much for having tuned in to the full show today and or whatever piece of it you could catch, and for you to catch the start I guess it wasn't even the start. It was the end, the anthology launch in the first hour at Poets at Art Fest. And my heartfelt thanks again to all the poets who you heard who wanted to be not only part of the festival last year, because that's where it came from to make it happen, for the book to come out, but also for them wanting to come share or able to. I should say there were a lot of others that wanted to come but weren't able to make it to the launch to share from that, share their a piece of their work from that anthology. And also want to thank all of the guests who came to take part and listen. And as well, I didn't do that in the first hour, but I just thought about it now. And thank, again, Novel Idea for being present and being an option, another option and helping really with the flow of people moving through to pick up their copy of the anthology and to buy the copy of the anthology. So thank you again, Don, at Novel Idea for that and your time that day. I also want to, in the second hour, thank again this year Kingston Writers Fest Artistic Director Era McCauley for her time and just a wonderful conversation we had about this year's upcoming event that begins again on September 25th and runs through September 29th. And every week, if you would like to get a little bit of a preview about what's coming up on the show, I do have a Facebook group page for this show. It's called Finding a Voice on CFRC 101.9 FM. And by early Thursday morning each week, I post who or what will be on the following day, Friday's show. So you get about a day and a half's heads up, I guess, before the show starts. And it's a public group. You can join if you want, but you don't even have to. You can go there. You can check it out. But again, that is... by early Thursday morning, you can find out what's going to be on this show at Finding a Voice on CFRC FM. It's Finding a Voice on CFRC 101.9 FM, and that's what it's called. And one thing I'd like to mention, and like I did at the end of the, and I'm going to do it now so I don't forget, the end of each hour is... just a reminder that every week, both hours of this show are uploaded to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. We'll remain there for 3 years, and I usually get that done about 7 o'clock or so in the evening following the show after I get home. It is 45 minutes now after 5 o'clock, and... let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and move into the list. I've been doing the calls for submissions. There are some events coming up, but they're a little farther out. These calls for submissions, though, are very close. Some of them are very close to expiring. So I want to give them at least one last shot in case any of you are interested in participating in them. The first call is called Summer Short Story Award for New Writers. It's put together by Masters Review. I'm going to just read from their website. Here at the Masters Review, summer is the season for short stories. Since 2016, our Summer Short Story Award for New Writers has paired emerging writers with some of the industry's top literary agents. Go ahead and check out, and that's the end of the quote. The deadline is Sunday, so this coming Sunday, August 25th at 11:59 p.m. the Pacific Daylight Time. So that would be like 3 a.m. the following day here. So again, Sunday, August 25th, 11:59 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Their website, mastersreview.com, and then if you just slash short story award for new writers, should take you right to that link. The next one is, the deadline is the following day, and this is Geist. It's just their current call. And again, from their website, Geist is a magazine. I'm reading, so this is quote, Geist is a magazine of ideas and culture with a strong literary focus and a sense of humor. The Geist tone is intelligent, plain talking, inclusive, and offbeat. Each issue represents a convergence of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, photography, comics, reviews, little-known facts of interest, cartography, and the legendary Geist crossword puzzle. End quote. It says they want to publish emerging and established writers and artists across Canada. And before submitting, though, they ask you to check out their full guidelines at www.geist.com/submissions. It's just single, I guess. Submission/submit. But if you got that far into it, I'm sure it already pulled up the link. So again, that's www.geist.com/submission/submit. Again, Monday, August 26th, 11:59 p.m. And again, that one is in Pacific Daylight Time. The usual monthly one, call for submissions from ARC Poetry Magazine. Their Award of Awesomeness deadline is always the last day of the month. So you've got on this one, you have until Friday, August 30th, It's open to all, it says. The prize, 50% of prize money were raised and a rare vintage award item. The link for this room, you can find a link. There's always a theme, so you can find a link for this month's prompt at arc.poetry.cn. I should go back. I'm sorry. I keep stumbling, not saying enough, and then having to go back. ARC is ARC, so just so you know. arcpoetry.ca/contest/arc award of awesomeness. There you go. And then again, another mention of ARC Poetry Magazine is their reading period is now will be open again on September 1st. So they say they have been publishing for over 40 years, open to all poets, accepts unsolicited submissions of unpublished poetry or translations, any subject. This current reading period, again, opens September 1st and runs through December 31st. And I'm going to move now into, I do have some other events, but they're out there a ways. I mean, other calls for submissions, they're out there a ways. So I'm going to try to cover some events because there are some events that are coming up. I'm trying to skim through the list here and find the ones that are still open and also, let's see here. Coming up September 1st, I do have a few listeners, I believe, in Hamilton. They have a reading series there called Lit Live, and it runs at the Staircase Cafe and Theater. This used to be a Thursday evening event, but I believe it has now switched to a Sunday evening event, and it was always the first Thursday of the month, so now it is always the first Sunday evening of each month, September through June. The door is pay what you can. There is a suggestion of $5 to $10. You can go to their Facebook group page each month and find much information there. But it is Sunday, September 1st now at 7 p.m. Check out their Facebook page. It's called Lit Live Readings. It's called Lit Live Reading Series, actually. So if you just type that into the search engine on Facebook, it should take you right there. Coming up on first Tuesday of the month, Tuesday, September 3rd, from 7 to 9, 15 p.m., doors open at 6:30, will be the next, and the journey continues monthly open mic reading series. It's been going on since 2009 and not at the Elm Cafe where it is now, but it is, it's been in a number of different venues to get us there, but we have been there for, I think, the last 7 years or maybe something like that. The Elm Cafe is located at 303 Montreal Street in Kingston. I should have given you an address for the Lit Live series before in Hamilton. It's, again, the Staircase Cafe and Theater, 27 Dundurn Street in North in Hamilton. So here in Kingston, it is the Elm Cafe, 303 Montreal Street in Kingston. Again, that's Tuesday, September 3rd. Doors open at 6:30, 7 to 9:15, and it is a free event. And next week I am going to air the August readings here on this show next week. So maybe you can catch that. Coming up a little bit closer than Hamilton is in Madoc. Another first Tuesday night of the month reading series. It's the First Tuesday Muse. It is open mic in Madoc with host TJ Best. Check out their page, their Facebook page, for info and updates. And they do have a group page an event page / group page for the show. So find it there. It's being held at 762 Craft Brewers, 162 Russell Street in Madoc. And Tuesday, September 3rd, 7 to 9 p.m., it says. And we do have, let's see, do I don't have time. Yeah, I do. I've got time for one more. There's a series, and I'll get into those next week. There are a series of, let's just put it this way, a number of book launch events already being lined up at Novel Idea for the fall season. The first one is called Palimpsest Press Virtual Launch. I'm sorry, this is a virtual launch, the first one. It is M. Dial, Amanda Murpaugh, and Jade Wallace. There is a Facebook page. Type in that Palimpsest Press Virtual Launch into the search engine in Facebook, and that will take you to the page. It has all the information for the Zoom link and everything you'll need. So that is coming up Thursday, September 5th. So a week from this coming Thursday, from 7 to 9 p.m. I think I do need to end it there. And next week I'll get into the Novel Idea launches. I do want to mention that today at, just following the show here in just a few minutes, please stay tuned to 2 hours of East Coast music and a show called Saltwater Music, hosted by Rob Carnell. It's a great show. Hope you check it out. To take us there, I'm going to play Procol Harum and a song called A Salty Dog. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
Sick day, we tears of joy.